Hi, welcome to Girls. Today I'm very happy to have with me Casey Champion. She works also at Microsoft, and she does crazy things on the side. This is why she's here. Casey, can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Casey Champion, and I am a computer science curriculum developer on the Microsoft Learning Team.
What does that even mean?
So yeah, Microsoft Learning Team is kind of a funny phrase.
Yeah.
So we specifically create online educational content to teach people how to use tech. So whether they're using Microsoft tech or not, we teach people to code, we teach people how to build things with code, and it eventually gets distributed for free, either on Microsoft Virtual Academy or on edX, which is a large, massive open online courseware system.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's like, who knew you could do this with a computer science degree? It's very cool.
Wow, it's really cool. So I think I knew you because I heard of an article saying Casey built her own career or built her own role or something.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Some clever writer spun it that way. I guess it was a nicer way of saying, like, oh, Casey's a hustler. But So before this role, I was a developer on Outlook Web App. I went to school for electrical engineering, computer science, and wanted to be a dev. That's definitely what I wanted to do. And then, however, as I was doing that, for me personally, education has always been my number one passion. I'm the first person in my family to go to university.
Oh.
And it made everyone in my family so excited. And it really showed me the impact of a college degree, of an education, and what I could take with my schooling and not only change my life, but change my whole family's life. And as I sort of like integrated into that sort of community of first generation college students, I realized how rare that opportunity is, and especially how rare it is to learn to engineer, to learn how to code, and how incredibly democratic that is. Like, you don't need to go to university to learn to code, right?
Right.
And so I went on a big trip, and I went all over the world, and I fell in love with students, especially in India and in Kenya and in Tanzania, who were just chomping at the bit for these skills and always really passionate about what they could build. And it's sort of when it clicked for me that computer science is about building things. It's not about arrays and for loops. It's about, like, hey, how can I go from idea to something real as quickly and, frankly, as cheaply as possible? So I took that with me to my day job, but it led me to a volunteer program that was started here at Microsoft called TEALS. TEALS places software engineering professionals in the classroom to co-teach with some teacher that's trying to become a computer science teacher. So usually they're like a math teacher or something like that. And then their principal's like, okay, go teach computer science. And, which is crazy,
right? It's crazy. It's not the same thing.
It's like, oh, you're the French teacher, go teach Chinese. And it's like, oh, no. And so they place these software engineers in their classroom to help out. And the idea is that we slowly sort of roll off, which is really exciting because not only do I get to teach in the beginning when they're so new, but I also get to watch the students learn and I get to watch the teachers learn. And eventually we leave the school with this like sustainable computer science program. And it's so hard to get high school teachers to be able to teach computer science.
So you teach the students and the teachers.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's so cool.
Which is amazing. And so it's sort of like while I was a dev, every morning before work, from like 7:30 to 8:30 a.m., I would go and I would teach computer science at a local area high school.
Wow.
And so I did that so much. Eventually, I got to the point where it was like, oh, well, like I was doing fine as a dev. But when I talked about my lesson plans, that was where my passions were. And it was like everybody knew, like, oh, Casey won't shut up about TEALS. And so eventually this team that I didn't know about called Microsoft Learning found me. And they were like, oh, you create curriculum for your students in computer science and you have a dev background? Do that as your full-time job. And so I've been doing that for about a year now, which is so amazing because I also can stay longer. I can be like, oh, well, actually, I really need to teach three classes because I need to test it on all my different students. So I teach two different courses at Franklin High School in South Seattle. I teach AP Computer Science and Intro to Computer Science. And I'm co-writing the courseware with all of the TEALS experience as well as my experience, and eventually it's gonna get put on to edX for students all over the world, which is amazing because then you don't have to be in a classroom to get this content. But also there's so many teachers that need to learn this content, and now they have a place to go as well that's gonna help them get those skills to bring to their students.
Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
What gets you passionate more about here? Is it like teaching the students part, or is it the doing the course part, or learning a new technology and then trying to simplify it? What gets you like really passionate about this project?
Yeah, I for a long while it was the relationship I formed with my students. At least when I was a dev, right? It was just amazing because I would have students that didn't know they had a place for themselves in this kind of industry. Mm. And I know for me, I got to go to college because, frankly, I knew I was making an investment that was going to pay me back with my computer science degree. And so getting to see that was initially sort of the spark. But now that I'm on this team, the idea that I'm impacting so many more than just the 30 to 60 students in my classroom, I'm going to impact thousands all over the world. I know when you're like online and you're like desperately trying to find that piece of code to like fix your project.
Exactly.
Maybe one day somebody who's trying to build the app that's going to like change their life will somehow find my course and be like, "Oh, thank goodness, now I finally know how to do that thing." So that writing of the courseware, that making sure that it is accessible, making sure that it's inclusive, and making sure that it's available for everyone, that's where my real passions lie.
That's so cool. Yeah. How do you see the students, and since we are in Gels, the ratio between girls and boys in high school learning technology, how is it in the high school where you teach?
So I don't know nationally. I believe it hovers between 10 to 15% for girls that take the AP Computer Science A exam. There's a new computer science exam this year that has different
numbers.
What is AP?
I don't even know.
So AP stands for Advanced Placement. It's it's a program mostly within United States schools that has high school students taking college courses that were adapted for the high school.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then the idea is that they take a big test at the end of it, and if you get a certain grade, then you get college credit.
Oh, nice.
So when I went from high school to college, I didn't have to take any more English classes because I had already taken college level English in high school, which was great because then I could just be an engineer in college.
Right.
So my computer science course is adapted from actually the University of Washington's Intro to Computer Science course. So if my students, it's out of five, if my students score like a 3, 4, or 5 on the test, then they don't have to take Intro to Computer Science at college.
Mm.
Which for my students, so I teach at Franklin High School. Franklin High School is in South Seattle. It's technically considered a low opportunity school. We have not the best graduation rate, and we definitely don't have the best advancement to college rate, but it's so impactful for my students to save that tuition and to make sure that they feel confident going into that college space. Mm. And so AP is an incredibly impactful tool. However, it's very traditionally been limited to the students that you think of when you think of computer science students. And so, yeah, our numbers for girls taking that course or not, taking that test nationally aren't great. However, my class sits generally between 30 and 35% ladies, which is above the national average. We're not there, when I was in engineering school, I remember how impactful it was for me to have role models. Especially role models that weren't just like, oh, you're a girl, I'm a girl, let's like be girls together, but more like I am an engineer and I've invested in my skill set and I believe in my skill set and I found a place for myself in the world. That's who I am. And then being able to see myself in them. And a lot of times, you know, when that individual is somebody that you share a really strong background with, whether it's your gender or your ethnicity or your religion, whatever it is, sometimes it's easier to see yourself in that person. And so a lot of my philosophy is just, my kids have to deal with me at 7:30 in the morning, and I love computer science, and I hope that my girls and really all of my students see in me somebody that they might not have thought would go on to like dev Outlook. And so I hope that that's continuing to make our classroom more and more diverse.
It's so cute how you call them my girls and my students.
That's how I feel. Well, they're so funny too, because like nobody likes to be called kids, but like I refer to everybody as kids, like even my TAs and stuff. So I hope that they feel better about it. But I'm like extra feeling it because we're in the middle of college decision season. Mm-hmm. So all of my kids are like really stressed out because they're like waiting for their acceptance letters. And so this morning we were talking all about like, which college are you going to go to and which one should you say yes to? And I hope I get into that one. And so it's really nice for me to have those relationships with them because I know how impactful it would have been for me as an adult.
Yeah.
Like, Can you imagine a random adult being interested in you like
every,
that?
Every day.
Yeah.
Coming to my classroom and teaching me. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
Like, I don't think my parents, like, I applied for college and my parents were like, what's that? You know? And to have, like, another adult in the room that's like, hey, what was your essay like? Do you need a recommendation? Like, I will review your essay. What's going on? Like, how can I help out?
Wow.
And so it's really nice. And it's nice, too, because I get to carry those relationships forward thanks to social media. So I actually have, because this is my third year teaching, so one of my sophomores from 3 years ago, she just sent me that she got accepted into the University of Washington's engineering program.
Oh, and so that's, I was like, so cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah. I have a side question. I don't know even if I should ask this, but what do they use in social media now, high school students?
Dude, it's not Facebook, okay?
I'm not sure about that.
It's the Instagram, but they always tell me I'm an old person by saying the Instagram. It's Instagram.
It's just be Instagram.
Yeah, but it's mostly Snapchat.
Oh, okay.
Like, Snapchat's a really big deal, and they all think it's really funny because I don't know how to use Snapchat.
You don't Snapchat?
Okay. Like, I have a Snapchat. But it's like a lot of work. I don't know. They disappear and you have to be funny and I'm not funny. It's very confusing. Most of like my sister's Snapchats are of me trying to Snapchat, which is apparently funny, but I don't get to be, I don't know. It's very confusing.
Oh, this is so funny.
Yeah.
So they have to reach you out on the Instagram.
Yeah. So I'm like, you can follow me on the Instagram.
And they're like, no.
No, that's Instagram. Not a thing. Well, also because Instagram has Instagram stories now. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, great. It's like a Snapchat that I understand. And they're like, no, Instagram stories are not cool.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So sorry, Instagram. the high schoolers are not into Instagram stories.
Okay.
They're very into Snapchat.
So they are loyal. Okay.
Yeah, very loyal.
Okay. Hmm. Good to know.
Yeah. They think the specs very cool, those Instagram specs.
Yeah, yeah,
super
yeah.
into them. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I bought ones.
Oh, you did? Cool.
Yeah,
are they cool?
They are. I can show you later. I can show you later.
They're
they
just
are
like
really
a camera,
cool.
right?
It's a sunglass, and then you have a button, and you click, and you snap, and then you link to your phone, and then you snap. I mean, and then you publish.
Oh, I see.
It's not live.
It's like a capture.
It's
method.
It's a camera plus Bluetooth plus microphone.
Oh, okay. So you Snapchat then.
Yeah.
So you're hip. There you go.
Yay. 30 years old. Proud of myself.
Yeah, no. Hold on to it.
Yeah. I'm always trying to see what's going on with the young people.
Oh, yeah.
Well, trying to catch up.
Well, because I like to talk about current events in the classroom whenever I can. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, I've got a really good one. They all know about the iPhone San Bernardino case, right? And they were like, what? No, I don't. That's not exciting to us. And then
what's exciting to them?
Hyperloop is very exciting.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very exciting. Yeah. Once I did a day on Bloom Energy, which they thought was the craziest thing that ever happened. And I happened to be teaching the day HoloLens was announced.
Oh.
And I was too excited to function. And so I was like, can we just watch hologram videos all day? And like, they just thought that was the
they loved it.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
We had a Black and Minority Student Day recently here on campus, and I was in the HoloLens room where all the students got to come in and try it on, and they were just losing their minds.
Yeah,
I thought
that's
it was so
amazing.
Cool.
That's so cool. Well, to jump to another subject, I heard also you're in the recruitment team or something like this.
Yeah, it's funny. That's literally where I just came from. So I'm not technically a part of the recruiting team, but I guess you could call me a recruiting champion.
Okay.
So my best friend and I met in EE 235, Discrete Time Systems, at the University of Washington.
And is this kind of a club?
Yeah. No. It's a very dry introduction to electrical engineering course.
Okay.
Yeah. She literally, it was like this 250-person lecture hall, and she stood up, and she was like, hey, other girl, do you want to do homework tonight? We've been best friends ever since.
That's so cool.
But she started as a program manager on the team that I started on. And we really were passionate about recruiting because it kind of feels like there's like this secret knowledge about how to get hired at a place like Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our interviews are very standardized, right?
Yeah.
Like, and if you know how to do those interviews and you know what we're looking for, you can be really successful. And so I got really passionate about how do we make sure that every student gets the same opportunity? How do we make sure that we're finding those students? Especially, too, what's important to me is diversity of experience, diversity of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just, you know, pie chart diversity, but
how
do we really bringing different thinkers to Microsoft and making sure that those people are also getting the same opportunities?
Mm-hmm.
So we started doing that and going out to campuses so often that eventually my friend went from being a PM to being a technical recruiter. So, which is great because
yeah,
now,
it's great for her.
Yeah, which she's the best in the world at it. And now I get to be her go-to engineer. So actually next week I'm going to Harvey Mudd, UC Irvine, UC San Diego, and USC? UCLA maybe, UCLA, to go recruit. And we're just, you know, we're there to talk about what it's like to be engineers. We're there to talk about what it's like to be at Microsoft. And a big part of it too is, you know, like how do we make sure that you see people that you might want to, you know, network with and see yourself in at Microsoft? How do we be visible within that? So I get to go on, I probably get to go on a big recruiting trip once a quarter, which is
nice.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Well, it's really fun too, because I'm also really engaged in the intern program. Yeah. I run the Intern Social Club, which is essentially like Microsoft Camp. It's like we take recent college grads who have been at Microsoft about 2 years and we pair them with 20 interns for the summer and then we give them a bunch of budget and we say, just go have fun, which is great because
this is amazing.
Yeah.
I want an intern for this summer.
Yes, I know, right? Gosh, if only I could go back to being a Microsoft intern. There is no better life. Yeah, it's like parties and free gifts and it's crazy what we do for them. But, you know, with this program, it's really fun because I get to see all these RCGs that are like fresh to Microsoft and excited to meet new people their age and excited to give back. And they already remember what it's like to be a student. And now they get to be a mentor in the situation.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And so it's really fun. And so my best friend and I run that program. And it's like for 1,200 interns over the summer, which is...
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, and we get to
plan
crazy
events. Many things on my... Do you have time to do other things outside of work?
I also raise service dogs. I don't know. Yeah. You have time. You find it.
Cool. That's so cool.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, truly, Microsoft kind of took a chance on me as like a scrappy... Like, I had an electrical engineering degree, but I taught computer science, and I didn't have the best GPA because I had to work through college, and... Microsoft was really the one employer that sort of looked at me and was like, hey, you have that spirit, that drive, that ambition, and you've got the foundational stuff. That's what's important to us. And I was like, oh, I feel like you understand me. And so they bought my loyalty real hard. And now I'm just like, hey, everybody, it's great. Please come.
It is great.
Have a good summer.
Yeah, it is great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it. It's a lot of things that you're doing for the company, and and you're enjoying doing them.
I think
you would do them for free. This is like, I think someone said the best job is a job that you would do for free.
Yeah, that's totally where I'm at. Yeah, it just happens, and who wouldn't say no to hanging out with all the interns over the summer? It's super fun.
Right, right.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Yeah. Well, if you are done with your story, we can go to the rapid fire questions.
Oh, yeah. Okay, rapid fire questions. Let's do it.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Good girl. What do you spend money on that makes your life easier?
This is really shameful. But I have a house cleaner, and she's amazing.
That's normal. It's the same thing.
I just, like, growing up, I would have never imagined paying for that. But as an adult, it is, like, the nicest thing
ever. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
There is no shame on paying for that. Yeah. I think that's fine.
I send her love letters all the time. I'm like, the bedroom looks so nice. Thank you for being a part of my life.
I do the same. I text her every time. what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
The first thing I do is right now, because we have a service dog puppy and he's 9 weeks old, so he goes out to potty, which is about 5 a.m. these days. So
that's very early.
Yeah.
Do you listen to music when you work? What kind of music?
Yes, I do. I am all about Motown.
Okay,
I don't know. 1960s, a little bit in the 70s, the Supremes, the Temptations, Stevie Wonder. Yeah,
cool.
Very much sometimes Sam Cooke, not Motown, but you know.
Okay, okay, that's so cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite app?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know what? There's this app that I love right now. It's called Jewel Bug. And it's this adorable way to track your carbon footprint. And so every time, and I find it really fun because I'm all about tracking things. Okay. And so every time you get on a bus, you like click a button. It's like you just saved yourself this many like meters of carbon. And then like every time I use a reusable cup instead of like getting a new cup in the kitchenette, they're like, oh, congratulations, you just earned 2 joules of energy that didn't get released into the atmosphere. And then you have these friends and you can be, I think it's really fun.
This app is so cute. I never heard of it, but I'm gonna install it.
It's super cute. Yeah.
It's so cool.
It's really simple. You have to click all the buttons, but I find it really satisfying.
No, that's really good.
Yeah.
What's your favorite language to code in?
Don't hate me, Microsoft, but it's Java. I was trained in Java. Oh. I love Java. That's what I teach my AP course in, you know. It's just my most familiar language. Who doesn't love Python?
Yeah.
Of course, you know, and I am so excited by what's happening in C Sharp these days. And it's exciting because I teach in Java and C Sharp is so close. So every now and then I'll just like point my students at Xamarin University or I'll like point them at Unity and I'll be like, look at what you can do. And they can go pretty easily from Java to C Sharp. Mm-hmm. So
that's cool. What's the most useless gadget you bought?
Useless gadget. Interesting. I have to admit, I have one of those Keurig machines, which are like terrible for the environment. And so we realized that pretty early on. It only makes one cup of coffee at a time. Yeah, and so, sorry, Keurig, it's probably not super useful.
Okay, that's fine. What's a product that you would love to work on, either inside or outside Microsoft?
I love OneNote. I'm gonna shout out to the OneNote team. Use it every day in my classroom. Use it every day in my life. It would not function without OneNote. I like wearables. I'm an EE major. And so, you know, embedded and Internet of Things, I find very fascinating. This is actually a smartwatch, even though it doesn't
look like. Oh,
really? It doesn't look like a smartwatch.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'd love to do stuff like that, you know?
How does it work?
So instead of having a face for notifications, it'll vibrate and then the two hands will go to one of the things. So whenever, like, my boyfriend calls me, it, like, vibrates and both the hands go to, like, 12. And it's like, oh, go get your phone. So.
So cool.
I know, clever, right?
And it's beautiful. It's a normal watch.
And it's beautiful, yeah. It's Fossil makes it. Shout out.
Does it function as a normal, is it the real time?
Yeah, that's the real time, yeah. And the best part is, as a wearable, you don't have to charge it.
Oh.
Which is great, because it tracks my sleep. Yeah, yeah, and, like, you know how, because with, like.
Send me the link. Girl.
Yeah, right? No, change your life. Yeah.
This is amazing.
That's so I'd love to work on wearables. I think they're cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, tricky question. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Okay, only because I have been religiously rewatching The Next Generation right now, I'm going to say Star Trek because it reminds me of the world we all want to live in. Star Wars is great. Star Wars is beautiful. But I don't want to live in the Star Wars universe. I want to live in the Star Trek universe.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good answer, I think. Fair enough. Okay, last one is, what's your advice for the younger generation to get into tech? I think you're doing this every day.
Yeah, my poor students have to listen to me talk about it every day. Mm-hmm. I think it's realize that it's not about the boring stuff. It's not about recursion and for loops. It's about building things. And tech is about going from nothing to something. And how can you get there? And I think that if you're going to try and break in, don't ask, like, what language should I learn? Which course should I take? Which school should I go to? I don't care about any of that. Pick a project or a thing you want to build, and then go figure out how to build it.
That's so cool. I love your advice. Where can people reach out to you? Do you prefer the Instagram or Twitter? Or
thanks to social media, there's lots of options.
Yeah,
so,
what do you prefer?
I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Medium, and I'm all a techie for good is my handle.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, because I love tech for good. That's what I'm passionate about. Yeah. And also because even though I might maybe a teacher, I'm a techie at heart forever.
So you blog on Medium?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Okay, then we'll link to your blog.
Oh, cool.
And your social media, and people can follow you up.
Brilliant. Great.
Thank you for being on, girls.
Thank you
really
for having me.
I really appreciate you coming over. I hope people get inspired and see someone different on the screen. This is like the goal, to show every different person and to inspire a young generation that, hey, you can become Casey.
I hope so. I mean, better than Casey, really, is what I
You can become yourself.
Yeah,
you
be
can
yourself.
Relate to you. Yeah. You can relate to Casey.
Yeah, I think you're right. You got to find that person that you see yourself in. And until we kind of like you find the right person, you got to try a bunch of different personalities.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Totally. Cool.
Thank you very much for being on, girls.
Thanks. What a great show. I'm super honored to be a part of it.
Awesome.
Cool.
Bye.
We'll be right back.